Wearing a thick wool toboggan, insulated black Carhartt overalls, and waterproof boots, Brooks Baker traversed the gradually rising slope leading to the westernmost vines of Red Mountain, his footfalls cutting deep into the freshly fallen snow. The storm had kept him away too long, and he wanted to see how the vines had fared. A new year, he thought. The vines were sleeping as they do, hibernating to protect themselves from the freezing temperatures. Above the ground, the vines looked dead, but in the roots, there was the green evidence of life, waiting for spring. The cold steel trellises were barren. Naked vines looked like lines of overgrown crosses running in rows through the snow. A religion of the vines and wines, the sacrament, the blood. Almost druid-like, though, this religion. More mystical, where strange things can happen before your eyes. Where the phantom whispers of ghosts brush by, leaving no traces in the snow. A hawk soared by him, the eyes of a predator no doubt searching for life, for prey. "It's quiet here," a voice said, gruff and English, an old man's words sneaking by with the phantom whispers. Brooks spun his head around, his heart hammering his chest. Otis stood a few feet into a row, his arms crossed. "Why do you do that to me?" Brooks asked, shaking his head, his heart rate dropping back below 100. "The only way to know these vines is to be as still as them." Brooks had noticed Otis speaking in other dimensions lately, as if the old man, now crossing into his late 60s, had seen things Brooks had yet to see. Otis wore brown corduroy pants and a weathered red wool sweater over a white button-down shirt. A tweed cap covered his head. "You not cold?" Brooks asked. Otis stepped toward him, coming out of the row. "I've been here long enough to be used to it. Joan made me change out of my shorts." Brooks smiled, not knowing whether or not Otis was telling the truth. "This is a cold winter, though." Otis stuck out his hand. "That it is." Brooks glanced at him. "We haven't seen you in a while. How's Joan?" "Still hiding my pork rinds and trying to make me do the twist on a yoga mat." Brooks could never get enough of Otis's grumpy humor. "Someone has to keep you in line." "And Adriana and Zach?" Otis asked. "They're cold." An image of Florida, palm trees and turquoise water, passed Brooks's inner vision. "She's not used to this kind of winter. I think she's feeling a little trapped." He didn't bother mentioning his fear of Adriana and Zach leaving. He and Otis had spoken about it before. As if climbing into his thoughts, Otis said, "You can't go anywhere." His eyes searched west. "It may come as a surprise, but no matter how much I listen to Joan, I won't be around forever. Someone will need to carry on here, to lead this bunch of vagabonds." Brooks stomped on the snow, widening the flattened area around his feet. "Jake will always be here." Otis shook his head. "No, it's you. Jake understands wine, that's for sure. But not like you. You're the one making his wines. You're the one that makes them sing. Without you, his vines would lose their..."
"I know as well as anyone that a second wedding isn't supposed to be as big." Margot Pierce was talking to her precious terrier mutt, Philippe. The winds of March had finally slowed, and April had brought with it a few warm days, reminding Margot of why she was living in this wonderful spot on the globe. Philippe was on the center of her white comforter, watching her put up clothes, his head moving back and forth like he was sitting center court at a tennis match. It was a rare cloudy day outside. It was around 10, and she'd already spent the morning at the inn, already fed her guests. Now, Adriana was over there cleaning up.
"But you know what, Philippe? I don't care. My first wedding was 1 billion years ago, and I can barely remember it. And though I've forgiven Rory, I will proudly say I was not marrying the love of my life at that moment. No, Remy Valentine is the love of my life, and I intend of a ceremony befitting of the sort. It's his second marriage, too, but he wants to do whatever I want to do.